This is Penny Bell speaking to Mr. and Mrs. Wheel in Stokesley on Wednesday, the 28th of September, 2022. Can I ask you to introduce yourselves?
Right, I'm Alan Wheel, born and bred in Stokesley, actually a farmer's son, but then taking up work with Armstrong Richardson and the company limited.
Okay. Alan, would you like to read us your poem about Stokesley Show?
Yes, I've got a poem about Stokesley Show. Folks go for places far and near, they go in thousands every year. No matter whether it blows or rains, they come in buses, cars and trains. Some folks a hunting horse admire, some like a Clydesdale, some a Shire, some like a Hackney, and others say there's no debate a Cleveland Bay. Your favourite breed, whichever it be, it's Stokesley Show you're sure to see. For this is sure where winners meet, they make a very pleasing sight. If you want to see a cow, they're Shorthorns, Ayrshires, Frisians too, with skins as sleek and bright as silk. Some bred for beef and some for milk. Some farmers, they would never sleep unless they saw some Leicester sheep. Some think a swell does best at dusk, and others like a black-faced Scot. When judging pigs, some like a blood. Some think a Tamworth's just as good. Some like a black, and quite a few will stick to good old Bilsdale Blue. As well as foals and calves and lambs, there's fruit and flowers, eggs and hams. A tent where rabbits fill their pens, another filled with cocks and hens. And implements that farmers need to get their work done with high speed. Wherever make your eye, there's somewhat fresh for you to see. At Stokesley Show, it's sheer grand to sit and hear a first-class band. Some folks will never go anywhere, they'll sit and listen all the day. Some folks like leaping, best of all. The sheepdog trials on and all. Aye, Stokesley Show, 'tis quite clear it grows more popular every year.
That was lovely. Do you know who wrote that poem?
Sorry?
Do you know who wrote the poem?
No, I don't.
No? It's great.
I have loads of things there, but I don't know. Don't know the origins.
Oh, so Alan, can I ask you what year you were born?
1934.
Yeah. On a farm?
On a farm a mile outside Stokesley.
And where did you go to school?
Well, I went to the local junior, primary and junior school in Stokesley. I recall riding my bicycle down and had it parked at a house just outside the school. And then after I went, the next school I went to was the French school at Great Ayton. And there, following that, I would be 15, I guess, or 15 or 16. And worked for my dad and with my brother on the family farm a mile outside Stokesley. But my elder brother was a farmer actually, and I got to the age of 17 when the manager of Armstrong Richardson made a place for me at Bibby and Sons in Liverpool to get an insight into animal feed. And then when I reached the wonderful age of 18, I was a conscription young man, and I joined the Royal Air Force for national service, which took me to Padgate for initial training, and then I was drafted to the number 3 radio school in Compton Bassett, where I had the experience of learning Morse code, because I thought I was interested in wirelesses, but not Morse code, which I learned at 20 words a minute. And after my 2 years national service, it was time to be posted for the rest of my 2 year, and I put down for an overseas posting, and I thought, oh, let's go and see the world for the RAF. Okay. Then the posting came through for me, which was to RAF Topcliffe, 20 miles away. And, okay, 20 miles away from home, but I didn't really go home all that often, because I was quite happy where I was at RAF Topcliffe. And there ended my 2 years a wireless operator. And then through this agent at Armstrong Richardson and the Liverpool experience, so I was back in the locality, not looking for a job, because through the experience at Liverpool Bibbies, I was then full time with Armstrong Richardson's, the local animal feed and seed and corn and general things with general things, not livestock. We didn't do livestock, so that was where I had all my working in life, and I was expecting to retire at 60, but I had the opportunity to 59 because of change of ownership in the business, and I was happy about that. But during my time with Armstrong Richardson's at Stokesley, we had one of the directors was a manager of the Stokesley station, farmers and butchers, and so I went to the mart on a Monday and looked after the pigs, booking them in and joining them with the auctioneer as we stood on a platform and above each pen, and I did the clerking, and following the end of the pig auction, I went into the office and wrote the bills out for the butchers that had bought them. So I met a lot of people, obviously, at the auction mart, and I did the same Monday at the town mart for the other secretary of the town mart association, because they were two separate companies. And through the auctioneering part of Armstrong Richardson's, having the experience of an auctioneer's clerk, part of the Armstrong Richardson's were was an auctioneering part, and so I went to a lot of farm sales, again being the clerk and making the bills out after the auction. So I've met a lot of people during my life, and I'm very happy about the fact that I had the experiences of boarding school, national service, and then my other occupation was cricketing for the local town, Stokesley, and also I played football for Stokesley. I'm very, very happy and contented in lots of various things that I've had to do during my lifetime.
That's wonderful. And you're very much a Stokesley man. And your life really, apart from your time away, has been focused all around Stokesley.
We've had holidays, but...
Yeah. And would you say in your time, how has Stokesley changed for you through your life, would you say?
Well, like lots of places, we've had lots of new housing, my pastimes have been cricket, football, Methodist Church, and still met a lot of people during my retirement. Another big part of my years have been secretary of Stokesley Show.
Oh.
Through Armstrong Richardson's, who seemed to be the hub for post letters and things, and all the entries used to come through our office, and they all had to be coordinated into what section they were all in, and so there were lots of work which I did at home and produced a catalogue for the show and then went to the show.
When did you first join Stokesley Show Committee?
Hang on a minute. When did I start at Armstrong?
When you started. When you were sort of drawn into it because you were working at Armstrong's and the work was done there, wasn't it, in the office?
Oh, yeah.
And then you became secretary.
But you were wondering when I started being appointed a secretary.
When you officially appointed a secretary.
I was just wondering if you noticed through the time a change in where your exhibitors came from. When you first were on committee, did many of the local farmers enter livestock or more?
Yeah, no. In today's language, it was a local show, quite small, drawing exhibitors from a local area, really, and then it gradually attracted exhibitors from a wider area, and I suppose we enlarged the schedule of the show and attracting more exhibitors through offering more classes to enter.
It's a big show.
But in the olden days, the trains were running when the show first started, weren't they?
The what?
The trains. the trains were running.
Oh.
Did you have a station in Stokes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course
yeah.
you did.
A mile and a half away.
Yes.
And it's about, over the road. And people used to put exhibits on the train, didn't they?
Especially Bert Pigeons and...
So livestock exhibits would come by train.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long time ago, probably before our time. But Alan's been secretary of the show. He was involved for 50 years.
Yeah.
And for the last few years, we actually did it at our house.
The secretary.
It's 30 years ago. All through his life, Alan has, and we're the same, I think similarly, aren't we? We've both had that feeling that you live in this community, which is a lovely community, and so we give back, we've given back, but not that we've thought of it in those terms, but we have over the years, because he's been sports club groundsman, he's been the sports club secretary, he's been Rotary, he was a founding member of Rotary and was the secretary of the Rotary Club, and the show, and the church, which we're very much involved with. So that things that we've done together and things, I noticed there was no mention of your family. Because we've been married 59 years next month. And the family have grown up here and they still live here.
Yeah.
Well, they've been away, both of them, and then they've come back.
I interrupted you before you got on to family.
It's told you what his priorities are. That's true though, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
We've had a really good life
and
Stokes is very, close to our hearts really.
A friendly town, isn't it?
Well, hopefully, yes. Yeah.
Jean mentioned when I spoke to her about the reading room in the middle of town where all the men used to go and read their newspapers.
Yeah. Oh, that was at the town hall.
That was at the town hall.
There was a reading room in the town hall.
And that was just for...
There was snooker in the town hall as well.
And open always, and anyone could...
Didn't they?
I used to play snooker and billiards.
What do you call him? That was in the house that we were in on West Green. Orton, Tommy Orton, in Sock, they put the world to rights, wouldn't they? Stoked the characters, because you don't get them like that.
No.
Now.
And the shops in Stokesley, have they changed considerably?
Oh, yes. I mean, my father was a grocer.
Right.
And in those days, when we were growing up, there must have been about six or seven grocer shops in Stokesley at least. So very competitive. And then Hinton's came.
Oh.
Then made it even more competitive. The fish and chip shop was there.
Yeah, so you had everything. You had lots of grocers.
Lots of grocers, yeah. A shoe shop. Three shoe shops. Weren't there? And in public houses, not as many eating places as there are now. That's the biggest change, really. I understand from a friend we've got 23 places that you can eat in Stokesley. Can you imagine that?
That's a lot.
I know. Coffee shops or whatever. And that's how society's changed, though, over the years, isn't it? Because in our day, you only went out specially to eat if you had a birthday or a wedding anniversary or something. Whereas now it's the norm, isn't it?
Yes.
So that, I think that's one of the main things. And for the growth of the place. So we have a, he's quite a character that you might like to speak to along it, a neighbour. And he has very strong views about things, and he's really sad about Stokesley, how it's grown and grown, and so it's losing its character, really,
yeah.
As a market town.
And sense of community, did you used to, you knew everybody, did you?
Well, I did, because my dad, really. But I don't now. I don't walk down the high street very much at all, really. But I had one specific week. I went to the dentist. This seems trivial, really, but the dentist at the other end of the town. And the first day I went, I walked down and I did not see a soul I knew. And the other day that when I went back again, I saw about three people, that I stood and talked to. So that's the difference, really. But there's a lot of people come into Stokesley to shop. And of course, there's a lot more cars about, aren't there?
Yeah.
Not only cars, but bigger cars, which is one of the,
Oh, but that market.
Yes, the market is extra. On a Friday there's a market,
yeah.
And then, but then subsequently there's a farmer's market on a Saturday once a month, and then there's I've forgotten what it's called now, it's local producers or something, I can't remember, on the another Saturday in the month.
And the market is,
and
that,
that's on the outside.
Yeah, the market, has that decreased in size over the years? Was it bigger?
No, it's grown.
It's grown?
Yeah. Yeah, because there wasn't one for a long time. At a long time, there was just a couple of stalls, I think, if I remember rightly. It wasn't that there was a greengrocer's and something else. But then gradually, over the years, it has. It. So it fills the area from the town hall up to the manor wall. Mm. That which is usually parked up, fully parked up, all day, every day, with cars.
Yeah.
Which is quite an area. Yeah.
Sorry, we didn't ask you to introduce yourself. Could you introduce yourself too?
Well, I happen to be Alan's wife.
And your name is?
And I'm Helen, yes. And like Alan, I was born and bred in Stokesley. Put at the other end. And we've been happily married for 60 years, haven't we, nearly?
Oh, that's lovely.
Well, we've been so fortunate, yeah. My father had one brother, and the two boys were left orphans, and they were brought up by two maiden aunts who had a grocer's shop, and father was the elder of the two, and so he was the one that was expected to take over the shop.
Right.
And he dearly wanted to be a chemist. That had been his ambition. Then the war intervened, and so he had quite a cushy job, because he went to the Bahamas, where he met people and who became lifelong friends, but came back to, I won't go into detail, but in not very good state of the business, but it was up to him to do what he could. Which he did, and he worked very, very hard, and was quite successful, really. And everything, the whole ethos was, what you made, you put back into the business. You didn't stand still in business, you either went on I went down, was his sort of ethos. And as I say, he worked really hard. And so, as in those days, they used to, for the business to grow, I suppose, one of the things they did, and not only him, because there was a lot of grocers in the town, so there was a lot of competition, but he, they used to ring up customers from other villages where there weren't shops and the surrounding farms and take an order over the telephone, which was then packed and delivered, and this happened weekly for some considerable time. And on a Saturday, oh, and then as well, he always had an errand boy, so that they did the same thing for people in Stokesley, but the errand boy delivered that on a bike with a basket, big basket carrier on the front of it. And on a Saturday, the errand boy even went delivering bread loaves, so that they had fresh bread for the weekend. I know there was one customer who lived about 4 miles away and got fresh bread loaf every Saturday.
Wow.
So that wouldn't happen now, would it? But with the pandemic, and it's almost as if it's gone full circle, really, because so many people are now having their orders delivered again.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. But he finished up with, he actually got a travelling shop. I bought one, and they used to go around the farms with that. So he employed, well, three men, as not to mention about 4 or 5 girls in the shop as well. So there was quite a lot. And then he extended, and a greengrocer's shop on Bridge Road here, and then he bought the shop at the end that was a sweet shop, and sold Sunday papers.
Gosh.
And then he built another one at Great Ayton, and he had another little one in Garton.
What was the shop's name?
Richardson's. Yeah, we had a clock outside the shop. It's the Indian now, which said Richardson Stores on it. Yeah,
lovely.
But he was an active dad as well. He was one that took. He was in the, on the parish council and county council and what have you. So
yeah.
You know. So
yeah.
Yeah. And we've always been involved with the Methodist Church, which has been a big part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't gone far, but we've led an interesting life.
Yes, and it's lovely here.
Well, we have travelled. I mean, we've had holidays, but
yeah,
you know, for your general life, haven't we?
Based in Stokesley.
I was taught reception.
Oh.
For my job.
In Stokesley?
No, yeah. In Gisborough mainly.
In Gisborough, yeah.
And Unthorp.
Yeah. Oh. Ask you these. This is thinking more about dialect, local words. If I show you the picture, if you tell me your name for it.
Let's see.
Well, I can't say, I would just call it a hedgehog. Hedgehog.
Yeah. Hedgehog.
That'll be an M. Long leg spider.
A daddy long legs.
Yeah. You call it a daddy long legs, or?
Yes, certainly, daddy long legs.
A bit enlarged, they're nowhere near that big. They're about that size.
I don't know what it is.
No, I think nobody recognises this picture. He's not a woodlouse, he's the other one. You know, the common ones.
A flea. Earwig.
Earwig.
Right.
Yeah. And you call him an earwig. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Nobody recognises that picture. I don't know why. It's grazing the hedge back.
Oh, sticky back.
Yep.
Is that what you call it as well?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And this is a drop of...
It's hard to see.
They are.
Oh, that's better.
It's early morning on the grass. That's a drop of...
Dew.
Yeah.
A dew drop.
Yeah.
That's what it could have been.
And this is a bag of...
Oh, well, goodies.
Is that, what would you call them, Alan? A bag of...
Yeah, good, they're goodies.
And this is a...
So nice, it's supposed to be Redbone.
Something. Yeah. Oh, right, Redbone. Yeah.
It isn't a good photo. And these are...
Scones.
Yeah. How many are there in the picture?
Three.
And...
Scallions.
Yeah.
Sorry, do you want to answer first?
No. Little onions, scallions.
You wouldn't know it's cooking.
What are she's giving him a...
Piggyback.
Yeah, piggyback.
That's a...
Seesaw.
Yeah.
Do you know a local name for seesaw? Yeah.
I think other parts of the country have some very strange words for them. This is, they're looking for one of these options, really, or something else you might say to put
all
in
right.
there.
Yeah.
So, he asked me to fix it, and...
Don't get that at all.
Some people, I mean, proper English is I said... But some people go, I was like, no way, do it yourself. I went, no way, do it yourself.
That's it.
I think that's what they're after. But
yeah,
he asked me to fix it, and I said,
yeah.
Of course I will.
Yeah, you said, said. And this is, again, how tasty. If something was more than tasty, which word would you use? The food was...
Very... Very
proper.
Proper.
Proper tasty.
Yes.
In a minute, I'm going to have to go again.
So, just got these questions. What do you call a room in a house for storing food?
Well, that's a larder.
You actually said it earlier.
It's a...
You said pantry.
Yes.
Pantry. If you haven't eaten any food for a long time, you're bound to feel...
Well, only empty, but that's not what you want, really.
Just want whatever word you would use.
Yes.
Yeah, empty. What words do you...
No, it is.
No, if you haven't eaten
any food for
a long time... I think because I've got
a famished.
Famished, right. What words do you use for something to eat?
Scran.
Fruit.
What do you call a coffee you might get from a cafe with lots of milk in it?
A latte, they call it, don't they?
What's the dairy product that you spread on toast and sandwiches?
Butter.
No name other than butter. There's no name other than butter, is it, for us?
Water.
Butter. Which word or phrase would you use to indicate a temporary break in a game when points cannot be scored?
An interval? No. I've no idea.
No. I don't like that one. If you fall over in the playground, your knee might be...
grazed.
Yeah.
If you got covered in dirt at the playground, when you get home, you might need to get in the...
bath. Shower.
Bathtub on the mat in front of the fire.
How long ago do you want it to be?
Is that one of the...
It's fine. Whatever you say is fine. When children are very excited, you might say they are full of...
beans.
Yeah.
At the end of a long and tiring day, you'd say you were absolutely...
jiggered.
Which word would you...
Sorry, I'm going to...
Oh, yeah. Was...
You were done. I'm done.
I'm really done. I'm done.
You're done. Done in. You were absolutely...
Done. Good.
Done. Which word would you use to mean not attending school?
Absent.
That's posh.
Plain. We used to call it something else, didn't we? I can't remember now. Because the kitty catcher used to come. Is that the next question?
Sometimes when children are being very naughty, their parents tell them that someone will come and take them away. What do you call this mysterious person?
The kitty catcher.
Is it a kitty catcher? Kitty catcher.
Know.
Yeah. When you grow... Oh, no. You grow crops and raise animals on a... When you walk in the countryside after heavy rain, your shoes will get covered in...
mud.
Mud. Mm-hmm. It'll be mucky.
Mud.
When driving in icy or wet weather, you must take care because the roads are...
icy.
Which word do you use as a term of endearment, even with strangers?
Now then, how are you? Well,
I don't know.
Love to see you.
I mean, when it's nothing to do with this really, but I've been going to the hospital a lot. And they're just lovely in the haematology department. And then they call everybody my lovely.
Oh.
Go on, my lovely. Don't they?
Yeah.
That's Middlesbrough.
That's Middlesbrough, yeah. Which word would you use to refer to someone as very attractive?
Bonnie.
Yeah. Oh, look, Bonnie.
What is your word for spreading rumours?
Gossip.
What did you call it?
Gossip.
Alright. Yeah.
A picture not hanging straight is hanging...
skew-whiff.
Skew-whiff. Have you got that?
Yeah. What do you call a very small piece of wood that has got into your finger?
Splinter.
Mm-hmm.
What would you call it? A spelk.
Yeah, that's another one.
That's another one, isn't it?
All right, yes.
What do you call a person who mends shoes and boots?
Cobbler.
Yeah. Do you have any other words you'd like to tell us about? Off the top of your head. Words that you think are local.
You don't know because you just use them, don't you?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
They come out when you're talking, yeah. But...
There was somebody... Somebody used the word last week and I said, I've never heard that before. Can't remember what it was.
Shall I switch yourself? Well, thank you very much.
Unless you want...